There was a man that'll be the subject of today's message. He was a griper. Thank God we don't have that in this church. He was a complainer. He was a murmurer. And he didn't have faith, and it'll still show up in the story. There was a feast given. We don't know which feast it was, but usually when it says the feast, it's probably in the fall. But there were three feasts. There are actually seven altogether, three in the spring, one in the summer, and then one in the fall. So those seven feasts tells you everything about time. First coming, second coming. First coming was then Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. That was actually, literally, it took place on a Thursday night. That was Passover. Then unleavened bread, which was all week long. And then first fruits was when he rose again from the dead to be the first fruits, of which all of us are now first fruits of the first fruits. He's the first fruit, and because he died for us and then rose again. Hi, how are you? Yeah. Because of that, he rose again from the dead, and you can't rise unless you're dead. And you can't rise unless you're dead. So it's always out of the realm of the dead. When everything was hopeless, then he rose again. When everything is hopeless, when there's no hope, God will make a way when there is no way. So during this feast, he decided to stop off in the temple area. It's not in the temple, but it's in the temple area. And he decided to stop off at the place of five porches, Bethesda in the Greek language, Bethesda, where he would then, with these five porches, and all of them had sick people in them, but then the angel of the Lord would come down every once in a while and stir up the water. It's a lot of water in this place. It's deep down, by the way. Maybe 50, 75 feet down. And you have to walk through this place. Been there many, many times. And Jesus decided to visit there, and he found a man that was not having faith, because he had been 38 years in the same place. And he was crippled. He could not walk. And so I want to read that to you. It's in the fifth chapter, starting at verse 1. And there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He was in Galilee and came down to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market, the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Now, five, interesting, you might not know this, but the number five always refers to Israel. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, five. And so this was speaking about the Jewish festival, the Jewish feast. And so five always represents the law of Moses, and that was the Torah, the law, the instruction, the way God disciplines us. But the four represents the gateway into the temple, and that's always four. And four represents the gospel, the good news. So the gospel teacher, Jesus, came and visited the lawful law, which no one could then keep. No one could ever keep it perfectly. But Jesus came to this man who was a murmurer and just always had gripes and complaints about everything. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. Wow. So this was powerful. Gives a person hope. Only this person had been there 38 years. But because he was a griper and because he didn't have any faith, he just simply believed, well, I've been here. But nothing ever happens. Now, his story goes like this. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. By the way, that's interesting. 38 years was the time of the Exodus, all the way from Egypt, slavery, and 38 years, though it's 40 years total, but it's actually 38 years that they were wandering in the wilderness. So this is timely that this guy had waited all this time, and yet he never understood the Jewish law, nor could he keep it, so it was sinful. Nor did he understand the gospel, but the gospel is right here, Jesus. And he saw him lie, and he knew that he had been there now a long time in that case. And he said to him, will you be made whole? Would you like to be whole again? And so it's an interesting question for a guy that gripes and complains and sinful and wicked and so on and so forth. So that's a very interesting question. Oh, would you like to be made whole? Would you like to be not diseased anymore? Would you like to be able to walk? Would you like to be able to do such and such? Well, the guy was like amazed that, so he started telling his story. So this is a great, when you ever have a person that's a murmurer, he wants to murmur. And the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Oh, this is funny. Don't you think that's funny? Because he's got the gospel right in front of him. And he said, would you like me to heal you? Would you like me to do this? Healing is a big deal today in the church. Many Christians are sick. They're diseased. They have all these problems, and they just wish God would do one of them. And so this guy was ripe for the gospel. He needed good news. And somehow in the Jewish system, you don't really get good news. You get bad news, because God always puts the pressure on you. You sinned, and you're a murmurer. And that's what they did for 40 years. Did you know Israel did that for 40 years? They murmured. They griped. They complained. They had nothing but stinks. It's no good. This God thing, his reputation is not like what he really does. So if he's going to bless us, why doesn't he? So this guy was there complaining, because God loves to heal complainers. You probably didn't pick that up. God loves to heal complainers and murmurers and people that have done it all wrong. Loves it. I mean, he hates the sin, but he loves sinners. He always loves sinners. And so this guy qualifies. This guy, and he picked him out. He saw this guy lying there, and he realized he's been there 38 years. It's just like the wandering in the wilderness kind of thing. And he's still griping and complaining. How many know griping and complaining won't change a thing? All you're doing is massaging. You're just, let me tell you about my story. And other people listening get tired of that because they want to tell their story. And so they, you think that's bad. You should hear what happened to me. Yeah, you think you married a jerk. I did too. And mine is even bigger. And so people love to just keep it, always think about it. I don't think that's why he's sick, but it could be. That's not the way to treat God. You should be worshiping God. This guy just didn't. And so he's totally disqualified, but Jesus loves people that are disqualified. I mean, he sought him out. He wanted to give this guy good news. And he said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Oh, that's funny. Okay, just stand up. Just rise. Resurrection from the dead. Rise, because he's a dead man. He's dead in his sins. He's dead in his sins. How many know that everyone out in the world out there, except us, everyone in the world out there is dead in their sins? They're slaves. If you're dead, then you have no hope. You don't have any hope. And a lot of Christians even, they believe in God, but then they kind of quit right there and say, "Well, I believe him, but he's never really done a lot for me. I'm looking for miracles. I haven't seen any. In fact, I just hear them talking, and every once in a while I have something to happen to somebody, but it's never me. Somebody else gets down into that water first. So I'm a Christian, yeah, but I just want to gripe a lot." And so how many know God loves that person? I mean, he loves them. He's just so excited to have a sinner who's just open about it. Cheer one. They're just open about it. Not even hiding it. Not even a hypocrite. I mean, at least the hypocrite says, "I'm a Christian," or Jewish, or believe in God or something. But this one is just, I just know every time I try to get down the water, somebody else gets there before me. It's like that. That's what Christianity is. That's what religion is. Somebody else got something else and I didn't get it. So I just have complaints. How many know that? You know somebody like that. I mean, he knows somebody like that. They dwell on that. They just continually dwell on their problems. Did you know that there are no problems in this world? Are you aware of that? There's no problems because Jesus came. And not only that, but he's got good news for everybody. Not only that, a lot of people, they tried it and it didn't work. They tried the be happy all the time. And that just made him miserable. Because I can't even be happy. And that makes me ticked off too. And so a lot of people just, it just compounds that not only do I not believe, I'm not even going to be a Christian anymore. I mean, I'll say I'm, kind of. But I really don't believe in God is good. How many believe God is good? Amen. That's powerful. You must have a good pastor. These pastors here must be telling you the truth. That everything's going your way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine going my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. How many know you wake up every morning with that kind of song in your, "Hey, another adventurous day, another day where God will daily load me with blessings galore." Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, that's what the church likes, and they usually go to churches like that, not here, but other churches. They go where the glory spout is just active. So we like churches that actually get something done rather than talk about it and then nothing happens. But thank God for this church. You've gone through 8 congregations that have left. And it's exciting because we have the dregs. We have the dregs right here. Well, I tried everything else, but here we are. And Pastor Jim, not even aware of any of that. He just keeps talking and yakking about Jesus is great. Glory to God! That's so exciting. He doesn't seem to pay attention. I've tried to pray for him. I've tried to talk to him. If you just do this, then this would happen. I could help you. And so it's exciting. How many know God is good? Yeah. Not only that, no one else is good but God. And here he is with this guy. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Just like Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And on the same day, it was Sabbath. Now he's in the five porches, and so it's still Jewish law time. You know, you don't do anything like that on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath day, we rest. We don't labor. We don't work. So when they did it on the Sabbath, they hated him. I mean, the Jewish Pharisees were right there. Sabbath is a Sabbath. Rest. And so they want you to conform to the Jewish way of doing things. Get under the law. Get under the pressure. How many know it's joyful to go through chair five? I mean, it's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's the chair everybody, they don't like that chair. But that's actually the lazy boy chair. I mean, that is one that you just put that handle thing and you go back. And that's great. But that is a good one. That's not the electric chair. But everyone thinks it is the electric chair. Because it has a little cord going back there to heat you up. Okay. So the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, well, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up your bed and walk. So he has an answer. This guy that griped and complained, he just said, look, don't blame me. I blame others, but don't blame me. Because the man that did this, well, what's his name? I didn't ask. I was just so excited about walking. First time I walked in 38 years. I mean, this was awesome. I was walking with my thing because that's what the guy said to me. So the Pharisees weren't happy about that because somebody broke the thing. And if it wasn't you, then that guy. They asked him then, what man is that which said to you, take up your bed and walk? Boy, I'd like to get a hold of him. Because the Jewish law is so impossible, it's so impossible to keep. No Jew ever, ever, ever kept the law in Judaism. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, whatever the glory of God was, everyone fell short of it. So it's imperfect. It's not complete. And under a law, any law, God's law, man's law, any law, military law, any kind of law, it's pressure on you to behave yourself. I mean, know that laws, they don't want to do them because your flesh is rebelling against that. Yeah. I don't want to do what God said. I mean, I'll do it. But I'm going to, inside, maybe not say it outside like this guy did, but I'll gripe on the inside. I'm impatient with God. I don't like the promise thing. Takes too long. So a lot of people are not excited. Boy, I wake up every day excited. Pinky can tell you, I wake up every day excited. And I'm ready. I mean, everything is blessings for me. I even can't see them. I just believe in them anyway. I just believe whatever God says. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Man, that keeps Peggy sleeping. I don't want to hear that good news stuff. That makes me mad. I mean, I wish I were like that, but I'm not. Got stuff to gripe and complain about. But they asked him, what man is this that said to you, take up your bed and walk? And he that was healed did not know who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away a multitude being in that place. And afterward, Jesus finds the man in the temple. I told you it's right next to the temple. This thing is not in the temple area, but it's just off to the side. And so, and it's beautiful. They have the Church of St. Anne there, and you can sing in there, and it's so gorgeous. Just one person could sing. You can whisper at the back, and it'll be heard in the same place. It's a beautiful church. And so everyone likes to go there, and they have choirs to go there, and it's beautiful. You just can be so soft. God is good, and so on. It's really inspiring. I like to go just to go to that place. Sing. You can sing all day long. And people come and go, come and go. But it's beautiful. Anyway, so he's in the temple, exactly where he should be. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple, and he said to him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come to you." Isn't that funny? The guy's so happy. He's carrying his thing around. He's going into the temple with the thing. I'm sure he didn't leave it at the door, you know, carrying it around. So he has a story to tell. But then Jesus says these words, "Go and sin no more, or a worse thing will be happening to you." He didn't say it like that. I said it like that to fool you a little bit. So, but he did say, or a worse thing will happen. In other words, if you're whole, stay whole. Don't sin again. Keep it going. But how many know that once a miracle happens, you'll never forget it, but 5 minutes later, you've already forgotten it? you say you're not going to forget, but you forgot. Oh, yeah, I forgot. So it's hard to keep this thing going. How many know once you're whole, you feel like, hey, troubles are over. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. You know, that's a problem for Christians. They want high all the time. They want things to be high all the time, always looking for miracles, signs and wonders and, you know, marvelous things and so on and so forth. You know, that's why we're small, because we don't do anything like that. How many know? All that we do is inside kind of people. Do it on the inside. You know, I'm happy. I'm really excited. And so, but actually, you know, when you just do it by the bare word, that's how you keep going. You do it by faith. You do it by faith. The problem with faith is it's built on a promise. It's a promissory note. The Bible is a promissory note. He promised Abraham something and it's still going. So the problem with promises is time. The problem with promises is they got a term, you know. And you read the Bible and you can't figure out, was that immediate or is that intermediate or is that all you have to go all the way until Jesus comes back or the millennium or the new heaven and the new earth? You know, when is that? And so people can't figure out when he says something what time it is. But the wise among you, they know. They understand the times. They understand. And it's about over. Did you all know that? It's about over. Jesus is going to come back, and only the believers will make it. Only the lovers will make it. Only those that love God with all their heart and all their soul, because they're whole. And they'll make it because they've been perfected in love. Chair 4, 5, and 6. So when you get there, to get there is you not only get forgiven, chair 4, but you also get cleansed from all unrighteousness. Wow. And now that, but you do it by faith. You don't actually see it. You just do it by faith. Someone said, "Do you really believe that?" Oh, yeah. Well, are you saying that by faith? Yeah. Faith, yeah. But you can't see it. I want proof. I want proof. I'd like something to prove it. I'd like everyone to know I'm a Christian. That's a matter of kind of prove it. How many know you can't prove it? Because it has a time limit and only God knows the time. Did you know God's total control of the world? Fret not because of evildoers. Did you know that? Yeah. So everything that's happening is exactly as God wants it. It's exactly. So God had that guy picked out for that day, and God revealed himself to that day. He's walking around in the temple, and he finds him there. So the problem today with the church is we want something more than the word. We don't want to read the Bible, and it sounds good, but I've tried it, and it doesn't work. I'll tell you, it doesn't work. I've gone to church 38 years. It doesn't work. And so people are, you know, it's hard not to gripe and complain. Even if you save it up for a few years, it'll come out. It'll come out. And so that's a problem with marriage. That's a problem with being intimate with anybody. They get to know you, the real you, and they see you, you know. That's a problem. But praise God, Bill and Dolores are all right. Amen? Amen. Totally happy. I mean, unbelievably happy. Right? So like David and Louise. Unbelievably happy by faith. Yep. By faith. That's the part people hate. And that's why it's the only true religion. The only true religion is the Abraham, the father of faith. That's the only true religion. And whenever the problem is like today, when you got enemies everywhere, everyone hates Christians. They just want to persecute you. They hate you, despise you, because they have laws. And the laws say, pressure people into behaving. Let them conform. Let them be collective, not just individuals doing their own thing. Let's have everybody collectivized. And so, you know, people just categorize you. You're a woman, or you're a man, or you're this group, or you're this color, your color of skin is this way and that way and so on. How many know God has blessed Shem, Ham, and Japheth? Everyone that survived the flood has been blessed. And when God blesses something, he can't curse you. But this guy seemed cursed. But now he is walking around, and he's happy, and Jesus meets him, and now he knows who he is. So he goes back, and he tells the Jews. And the Jews, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and they sought to kill him because he had done those things on the Sabbath day, when you're not supposed to do any work. But Jesus answered them and said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." In other words, Jesus' faith is active in love. His faith, you don't just go up and down like a yo-yo. You actually realize every day I can be whole. Every day I can be healed. Every day I can be loved. Every day I can experience the love of God. But it's just by faith. Right? And so that's a problem. That's a problem. But I don't care. If it was just Peggy and I would be here, it would be okay with me. I preach at home, too. So I don't care. I'm not really interested in proving anything. I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm just defending the Word of God. Somebody says something against the Word of God, and I say, no, you're wrong. You're wrong on that. I'm not mad at them. I'm not unhappy with them. I still love them. I pray for them, bless them, forgive them, you know. I just want them to have all the joy in the world. I don't have any hostility toward anybody in the world. You can do me in, you can rape me, you can pillage me. I don't really care. I'm totally happy, and I stay happy all the time. I'm whole. Why? Because I just believe the word. And I'm not looking for anything to prove it. But I know everybody as a Christian, they believe in Jesus, but they call that witchcraft. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You began in the spirit, but now you're ending in the flesh. You're trying to perfect yourself in the flesh. You began in the spirit. You're born again. You're born of the spirit. You're a new creation. You're not even Jewish or Gentile. You're a new creation. Wow. That thrills me. Isn't that powerful? You're a new creation. You're no longer you. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, of Jesus. I love that. And so that's the way I live. I'm never unhappy. I'm always happy. Why? Because of what Jesus did. Well, it's because you're a pastor. No, it is not. I'm sure I out-sin everybody here. Hello? I'm sure I out... Well, I don't know. You don't sin anymore, do you? No. Praise God. He's a liar. And so, you know, I don't have anything over anybody. I'm not nothing. I'm nothing. I like being nothing. And nothing is how you're something. If you're not nothing, then you're something. And so I had to die to myself. It's no longer I live. We've been crucified with Christ. When he died, we died. When he died, you died. Do you know that? I mean, don't try to figure it out because you can't figure it out. Just believe what he just said. When he died, you died. So his death was my death, and his burial was my burial, and his resurrection was my resurrection. So now we've been crucified with Christ. And now we're risen with Christ. And the Bible has words to say about all that. So the best is yet to come. How many know the best? We haven't even seen the best. You haven't even seen the millennium. You haven't even seen the new heaven and the earth. You haven't seen the last judgment. You haven't seen anything. So all of that's way ahead of you. So if you look, you lose it. But if you lose your life, you find your life. Just love God and love your neighbor. Don't have to, you know, feel it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to want it. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. I do that every day for Peggy. She likes it. She likes to hear that she's the best wife. And every once in a while, she'll say, you know, well, you're the best husband too. And so that's good. I mean, that's an improvement. Instead of being critical. How many are critical in your marriage? You know, you have the gift of criticism. It's kind of a gift. Well, I see what you're like. And so I'm oblivious to it. I just love her the way she is. I don't want her to improve. I don't want her to be anything different. She's just perfect. How many are married to a perfect person? It's by faith. You have to do it by faith. Do it by faith. So... So that's the part of the humor right there. God is obviously has a sense of humor about that. Obviously, because usually between a man and a woman, if they're here for counseling or something, I'd say, which one is the bigger sinner? Usually the man will confess that right off because the wife has been picking away at him, and so he knows that. Okay, well, I'm not what I ought to be, you know. And so on. So it's usually easy, but then I switch immediately to the woman and I say, why did you marry this man? And they're just like, their mouth is open. Well, did you ask God? Yes. Well, he said, marry this man? Yes. Well, did he give you a bad husband? And then they're kind of quizzical, you know, I don't know what you're saying. Well, did you ask him? Yeah, but he deceived me. Oh, he deceived you. I'm sure he's the same yesterday, today, forever. It's like God, you know. I'm sure you married a sinful person and you're sinful. And so two sinful people, they're not going to make it. They're going to gripe and complain. And they can do it secretly. You can do it secretly. You can criticize on the inside, but then on the outside, look like a hypocrite. But the truth is, most men don't feel reverenced. Did I say that right? It's in the Bible. Let the wife reverence her husband. You know, and to respect him. Give him respect and honor. They don't want the love. They want the respect. Women are different. They want the love. But the men, they don't want the love. You know, I just want respect because I sin so often. I want the respect. I want the forgiveness. I want you to love me for no reason at all. Hello. So God is funny. Don't you think God's funny? Because he loves all of us and he knows that all of us here are going to heaven. You know that. It's in the Bible. So if you just believe, you got it made. Just believe. So anyway, this guy, then the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only, one thing, broke the Sabbath, but he also said God was his father, making himself equal with God. Oh my gosh. So this is the reason they killed him. Not just that he broke the Sabbath laws, but that he also said, my father, my father. How can you say my father? No, no, the Father loves me. And Jesus said, my Father, he's still working, and I work too. In other words, he says it, and I'm his son, so I please him always. And so I work just like he works. In other words, he works first in heaven, and then I work. I just copy what he just did, say what he just said. I'm just doing like he said. How many know that's a Christian? If whatever God does, you does. Whatever God says, you says. You understand that?
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of Christians that believe this stuff, but they don't really want to say it every day. Every day, like, thank you. Every day, thank God I'm married to you, Peggy. I wouldn't want anyone, no one. I don't trust anybody, but I trust that you are the perfect wife. I just say that. But I say that. She used to ask me, well, now, do you feel that? No. Well, do you ever think about me all the time? No. Well, do you ever want to do something for me? No. And so that bothered her. But it just gave her a lot of information. You know, she wanted to know the truth. I said, do you really want to know the answer to that? Yeah. Okay, I told her. And then she said, well, well, do you love me? Well, she was ticked. She didn't like that because I was not behaving right. You have a husband that behaves right, don't you? You have to. You're in church now, so you just say yes. So you have to say yes. You have a husband. It's good. Perfect, right? Yeah, in church. So you have to say that in church. But really, secretly, you have all these secret sins that you don't know about, but God knows them. And he knows. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to God, but the revealed things belong to us. So you're only responsible for what he revealed to you. You don't have to guess and kind of figure it out. But you generally, the only thing you can really know about a person is how they act. You really can't psychologically figure out what's really going on and motivating them. Because sometimes people will lie. Right? Doesn't that happen like 100% of the time? People, they don't tell you the whole truth. And so you can't really go on except what they behave like. And you know their behavior is not good. So God wants this guy to be whole all the time. And now they hate Jesus and they're going to kill him. And they do kill him. Because he broke the Sabbath, and then he said, he makes himself equal with God. Do you know something? This is interesting. They nailed him to the cross. They nailed him because they figured it out. This guy is blaspheming God. He's making God his father. He's just a man. He's just a person. But I don't think so. I think he's the Savior and the Lord and the bridegroom. And my all in all. He's everything to me. He's my whole life, Danny. Is he your whole life? That's it. That's exciting. Jeff, he's your whole life. And people don't like that. People think you're weird. But you know what? So what? Who cares what people think? How many know only God is the only one watching you on the stage? He's the only one looking at you, looking at your heart, looking at your soul, looking at your life, your behavior, your walk. He's looking at everything, and he knows exactly who's his and who's not his. Amen? And your sin will never send you to hell. I'm going to say right now, your sin will never send you to hell. So how many sinners do we have here today? Yeah, okay, that's no problem. Your sin will never get you to heaven, but it won't send you to hell. But it's only what he did for you by a promise that I will keep Abraham's promise to bless all the families of the earth. Everyone that wants this as a believer, I'll deliver you in the day of judgment. Vengeance for the wicked, but mercy for those who believe that mercy triumphs over judgment, rejoices over judgment, exalts itself over judgment. So then Jesus answered those because of those two sins he made and said to them, "Truly, truly, I'm telling you the truth. I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. I am the Son of God, but I'm also the Son of man. But what he seeth the Father do." Now I'm talking about my Son of man side right here. But you can see if you look really closely that I'm the Son of God also because of the things I do. He can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for those things that he does, the Father, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him, this is how you know you're a son, shows him all things that he himself doeth. So if you're a Christian, you know exactly what God is doing. And he will show him greater works than these, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raised up from the dead and quickeneth them, gives them eternal life, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judges no man. The Father judges no man, but he has committed all judgment to the Son. In other words, the Son's going to do what the Father does. So that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. This is the problem for Jewish people. They won't honor the Son. They killed him. They didn't honor him because he broke the law. But Jesus was not ever breaking any law. He never broke even the Roman law. He didn't break any law. He didn't double park his donkey. He didn't do anything. But he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father. In other words, if you dishonor me, you're dishonoring the Father. Wow, that's a big statement. Which hath sent me? Verily, verily, I say to you, last verse. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Let me read that again. He that heareth my word and believeth, so faith cometh by hearing. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That's it. And shall not come into condemnation, but he is passed from death to life. Wow, isn't that good news?
Yeah.
That's incredible. This has nothing to do with what you do.
Right.
You'll be judged by what? The equity. I'll judge the people with equity. Equity means equal to the fact that God originally, when he created you, wanted you to be his steward or his servant or his slave or whatever he wants you to be. But you've fallen short of the glory of God. You didn't do it. And so now he's come to heal the griper, the complainer, the sinner. He's come to heal everybody. And when he rose from the dead, he rose for the dead. All men, everybody, I don't care whether they are Shem, Ham, or Japheth, he died for all of them. And he rose for all of them. So all you got to do is believe that. You can hear the Son, and if you reject the Son, you've rejected the Father. You can't have one without the other. Well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus Christ. No, you have to believe in Jesus Christ, not Buddha, not Hinduism, not any other religion. You can't believe in any religion except this one, Christianity, the true Christian, which means you will be perfect when you see the Lord Jesus. Because he not only forgives you in chair 4, he also cleanses you from all unrighteousness in chair 5, and he also then perfects you in love, and that's the greatest. Now you're ready to be a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. Any blemish, nothing, no iniquity, nothing will be in you. You'll be perfect. How many believe that?
Yeah, that's great.
You just believe that. You don't see it. You do not see that. Don't even pretend like you can see it. Because if you're looking for security in this world, you're not going to get it. But if you want certainty in the Word, that's what the Word says. Don't add anything to it. then you get everything. You'll get everything. If you just simply believe in God, only His Word, you get everything else then. If you, with Jesus Christ, He freely gives you everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, He'll give you everything else. Everything the Gentiles seek, He'll give that to you. Whatever they're seeking, they don't get. Whatever you don't seek, you get. Because you just behold Him, not it. You behold Him. If you keep your eyes on Jesus and then look for the fruit, you're going to miss Jesus. The minute you're looking at Jesus, but then you look over here, see if the fruit's coming. Oh, yeah, I got some fruit. No, don't look for the fruit. Just look at Jesus. If you look at Jesus and His promise, everything comes to pass, even in this world. Even in this world. But if you look away, if you just say, well, how's my life looking? You look at your own works. No, they're separate from faith. Faith is just in His promise. But if you look for the thing, you took your eyes off of Jesus. Let me see how my fruit is going. Oh, it's not going so good. So everyone wants to look at the fruit that proves it. Well, here's something I did. I did a good work. That's the problem with the Catholic Church. That's the problem with the all religions. They're all like that. Even Christians want some proof. You don't need any proof. God just said, if you believe, if you hear and then believe, that's it. That's all I wanted. You have everlasting life. Well, that's exciting. I wish somebody would just say, yeah. Amen. Will you say that?
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it?
Good stuff.
Anybody else thought that was good?
Amen.
This poor guy, because he griped and complained, and yet Jesus loved him anyway. He didn't care about your sins. If God doesn't care about your sins, why do we care about other people's sins? Can anyone else's sin make me sin? Of course. Yeah, of course. Everything you do, I'm looking at it. But I forgive the sin. I see it's a sin, but I forgive it. And that's why Jesus said, sin no more. Otherwise, a worse will come on you. Don't look at that. You're whole. Stay whole. And if you don't, I'll do that for you. If you don't stay whole, He'll forgive you anyway. He doesn't change His mind. He's same yesterday, today, and forever. He never will change. The harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. So just pray to the Lord of a harvest. He'll send out laborers into the harvest. How many know the best is right ahead of you?
Amen.
The best. You haven't even seen the best yet.
Yeah.
When you see Jesus, you'll feel it and think it and all mysteries and so on. You won't have any doubts at all. But today, you psychologically doubt. I wonder if I'm a Christian. Boy, what I did, I just argued with that person. I said I was not going to argue with them. And then they came along and pushed the button that I didn't want them to say. Now I'm mad at myself and them. You see, you don't do anything. Let Jesus do it all. He just gets a kick out of that. He loves it when you don't do anything. Let Him do it. Now, does that mean you can't speak? He can speak to you. It comes by hearing. And when He speaks to you, just go and do it. Don't think about it. Don't think of your fruit. Don't think about anything. Just do it. We're not pragmatists. We're not practical people who say, it works. Uh-uh. Just do it because He says do it. Don't think about it. If you think, you're going to drink. Okay, do you know why people drink? Because they're afraid of thinking, because then they'll realize, I judged everybody else, and now with the judgment you judge, you'll be judged. And you cannot escape that. So don't ever think. Your mind will not take you to heaven. Your emotions will not take you to heaven. Your willing, your volition, you want to do something, don't want anything. Just relax. Celebrate every day. Every day is Christmas. Every day is, you know, Resurrection Sunday. Every day. You don't have to work at it, Anna. Just everything is going your way. And that's true. And you can just say that and don't even think about it. Just, you know it. It's great. So, let's have a testimony.
That's great.
Okay, Teresa.
About a year ago, you suggested all this. You want to be in chair 4, 5, you suggested. I was like, you were like, raise your hand. So some of us raised our hands. I raised mine half. Yeah. Because I don't know, I don't like suffering so much. I've had a little
right.
bit.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay.
Wow.
And it's been incredible. It's like you say, you just sit there and you just are a receiver. And I've so overflown over whatever the word is. I can't
yeah.
even speak.
Yeah.
My
I
cup
love it.
Overflows.
Yeah. Totally.
I just receive and receive and receive and receive.
So simple.
Receive and receive and receive.
So sweet.
Receiver.
It's sweet. Yeah, she's a receiver. Everyone needs to be a receiver. You hear from God, and then you just obey. You don't even think about it. Just obey. Don't even, well, let me think about it. No, don't ever think. If you think, you're going to be in trouble. Stop thinking. Stop wanting. Stop caring about anything. Just pull your eyes on Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of him. That's how you're changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Next, so on. Debbie?
What I got kind of from the teaching and the doubt with this man, because that's what he really had was doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he didn't, he would have been,
right.
in my opinion, right there.
Right.
At that.
Yeah, heal me.
I've been wanting to fall over the minute it came on instead
right.
of sitting
right.
there complaining and everything, and that was his
right.
own doubt
right.
that it was never going to come to pass.
Right.
I mean, he started living in that, which is the
right.
sin
right.
of not staying whole. That's the reason why
right.
Jesus said stay whole, sin no
right.
more.
Right. So. Yep. Perfect. Tim. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful bride.
Beautiful
son. Amen.
Right.
So you're not that. You're actually a believer.
Yeah.
You're not that. You're actually a believer. So all doubt's gone. Say it. All doubt's gone.
All doubt's gone.
Yeah. So don't ever doubt that you doubt.
Just don't doubt the
doubt. It's done. Finished. Yes.
Mm-hmm. He said, just keep your eye on me, and then all the waves that are going on, just stay within your lamplight and my eyes straight ahead, and
right.
he makes a way.
Yeah, right. So don't even have a tendency. Just know this, Jesus loves you long before you ever cared about him. He doesn't care that people hate him and despise him and kill him and so on. He can just rise from the dead anytime. He's not worried about that. When he loves you, he will never return. He will never take back the love. People that go to hell go on their own cognizance. Jesus never sent them to hell. They always think, he's going to send me to hell. He can't send anybody to hell. He's only there to... This whole book, John, was written for one reason, that you may believe. That's all. The only reason this book is written is because he just concentrates on one theme. He doesn't have 2, 5, 15. One thing. That you may believe. I'm writing everything down here that I heard from God, and I'm just saying so that you might believe. That's all. Now you're all spiritual people, and you have spiritual worship, but don't examine it. Don't look at it. Don't even think about it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. What he said, what he did for you, in you, through you, trust him. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. You can be happy from this time on. Right?
Amen.
From this time on, I'll be happy for the rest of my life. But that's not a psychological statement. That's a faith statement because you heard the word of God. Don't have to check it. You don't have to. Look, everybody today wants to get something extra. They want security. You don't want security. I hate security. I want one thing, Jesus. I'm going to keep my eyes on him because he loves me. And if you don't have that individually, you won't have that in public. It all starts with the individual. God loves this particular person, this lame man who did all this stuff. And he said, no. Do you want to be made whole? Yes. take up your bed and walk. And he deliberately said, take up your bed and walk, knowing it was the Sabbath day. And that's why the Jews caught him. Hey, he did that on the Sabbath day deliberately. We got to kill him. And not only that, he said, my father. He shouldn't have said that. He's all of our father. No. He's just saying he's the father, you know. And Jesus did everything wrong in order to let you know you can do everything wrong, but God loves you. You're going to make it. You're going to make it.
Don't you think when the man said, I don't know who it was, and then Jesus went back to show him what was there to go, so that was the proceeding
right.
for them to hate him.
Right.
I mean, to fulfill everything right. that was supposed to be fulfilled.
Unbelievable. Sweet. How many else on this side? Is there any sinners over here? Yes. Thank you. Clay.
I was thinking as you were talking that it's like God gets us down to where we have nothing left but to bear with. And we resist all that. But that's the only thing we can do is just look at the bear word and we're included in that.
Yeah.
And when we do that, we get fruit from it.
Proof.
And everything else, we're looking for the fruit. We want the experience of the pool. And
right.
We want that.
Right. Totally.
In heaven.
Yeah.
As you. I'm you.
Totally.
So, and it just seems so stupid and nothing to us.
Yeah.
But when we do it,
right.
The peace comes. And
totally.
The more we do it, the more we want to do it.
Totally.
And we fail to do it.
That's where all our liberty came from as a nation. That's where all our justice is in this nation. And that's what peace on earth is all about. But you don't see the last two because you don't have the first one. Just get the liberty that worship God with all your heart, soul, and strength. All men have a natural, this is our law in Texas, all men have a natural and indefeasible, you can't defeat it. All men, and not just Christians, not just, you know, religious people, just all men have a natural and indefeasible right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their own private individual conscience. That's in our laws. The laws always agree with God. I'm going to say it again. The laws always agree with God. You just have to keep looking at it, but keep your eyes on Jesus because he is the one that made everything happen. And we are the first nation then was built on this, that your liberty to worship God is the key to everything else. If you just do that one thing, give just Christians the liberty. Are you free today? No, you're not. You have to have 501c3s. You have to have local tax exemption on your property. You have to have, you know, being a creature of the state and all that kind of stuff. The state wants to control you. They've always wanted to. Everyone's always a civil and religious tyrannist. They want to put tyranny on you. Don't let it go. Stay whole. Stay whole. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. If you do it right with Jesus, he gives you everything else. You could change America, and I will heal your land. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, in other words, be a nothing, will humble themselves, not be a big shot, humble themselves. Well, that's not true. But it is true, because God says so. If my people, and he actually, this is a promise, not a command. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, praise, give thanks to God, seek my face, don't seek anyone else's face, keep your eyes on me, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I did that, I did that, I did that, they didn't do that, I did that, I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, only the church's sins. I'm not looking at anybody else's sins. I'm only looking at the church. Because they're the only ones that are hot. They're the only ones that could make everybody else hot for Jesus. I will heal their land. That's a promise right there. I'll heal their land. So you want to make America great? It's easy. You can't do it Trump's way. I'm not criticizing him. I'm just simply saying, you can't make America great until you make it good. Make the tree good, and the fruit will be good. Make the tree good. Only work about the tree. Don't worry about the fruit will be good. Don't worry about the fruit. Just worry about make the tree good. Who does that? God. God made the tree good. Jesus is the tree of life. Now you have eternal life. He's the tree of life. And now we're alive. For the first time, we came out of the dead, and now you're alive forever and ever and ever and ever, world without end. Yes?
The scripture today reminds me, take up your bed and walk, reminds me of taking up your cross and walk. And the bed were his problems that connected him to the earth. And our cross are our problems that connect us to the earth. So we're supposed to release those things and walk in the Spirit. We have to get up away from our problems and walk in the Spirit. Both of the scriptures are
good. Awesome. There's a lot to this. Everything Jesus says is eternal. I mean, it's not human. It's everything. He's protected this word, and we still have it today. You haven't lost anything. You'll never lose anything. Everything you lose, you didn't lose anything. You're still already in heaven. God sees you in heaven. You're in heaven. I'm in heaven. Some singer said that. Did you know you're in heaven? Because you are. And the best is yet to come. You haven't even seen the best wine. It's specific. It's not just general. I'm just saying what God said is going to come to pass in our day. You will see it with your own eyes. Who else? One more. One more. I feel someone else. Yes, Joyce? Yes.
Well, we found my grandmother's Bible, and I thought everybody would be so glad. Ooh, I just came from visiting with those people. It's a hornet's nest. Oh, my. I didn't expect such opposition.
Right.
But, oh, it's a war.
Mm-hmm.
Against believers.
Yeah.
That believe that book.
Amen. Yeah.
But, they're so mean.
Right. That's wonderful.
Yeah. But I don't feel wonderful.
No, why do I say it's wonderful? It's wonderful because people actually heard Jesus and realized he went against the law. He didn't follow the law. He followed the gospel, which was 430 years prior to that. The gospel in Abraham is the only issue. All the families of the earth, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, will be blessed. You cannot ever curse a person that you bless because God is the same yesterday and today and forever. So he doesn't like, I changed my mind. He cannot change his mind. Once he says he loves you forever.
Amen.
You cannot ever do anything that will cancel you out from heaven. He wants everyone to go, but he won't force it. The only thing, because he's not under a law, he won't force it. He just preaches it, and he knows already before the foundation of the world which ones are his, which ones are not. He already knows that, but he hasn't revealed that to you. But you'll see that on the day of judgment. Some to damnation, some to salvation. We'll never be damned. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. There's no condemnation. Everybody here doesn't deserve to go to heaven. There's no one here that hasn't broken all the laws. So you don't qualify. But Jesus didn't like that idea because Father is love. And so the love of God does all these three things, 4, 5, and 6. So you can have 7 and 8 and 9 and so on. It just keeps going. So the best is yet to come. How many know this is not just talk? I mean, it sounds like talk. It's not talk. I'm just reading what it says in the Bible, and it works. So everything is going my way. Who can say that? Everything's going my way. Yeah, it's going my way. But if you focus just on Jesus and those words, you have eternal life. All right. Anyone else want to say something? Yes, Ian.
I hope this makes sense. When you're talking about the security and freedom, you can't have 100% of both. When you have freedom in Christ, this world's going to turn against you. It's going to hate you.
Yes. That's exciting.
I know, right? But in order to have 100% security,
we will turn on each other in a heartbeat.
Right.
We'll stab each other in the back.
Yes.
But true freedom is in Christ.
Right.
True freedom is right there. I see the correlation of the man he healed.
Right.
He gave him freedom.
Right.
He didn't take anything from him. He just right. removed something from him.
Yes.
And made him whole.
Yes. Powerful. Love it. Perfect. Anyone else? Because I feel that there's still somebody. Anyone else? Well, I could be wrong. It's too powerful. It's too powerful. And if you read the next chapter, or the rest of this chapter after verse 24, you'll see it's even get more powerful. The more John speaks, the more you're going to be closer to heaven. That's why I just read the word. Don't get it for a revelation. Don't get it that you'll understand anything. Just read it. Just read it. It comes by hearing. Read it out loud. Read it out loud to yourself. It comes by hearing. And you can have a go out of your mouth and go right into your ear. Not this ear, but spiritual ears. And you hear it. And now that's where faith comes from, because it's all from heaven. There's nothing on earth. Everything on earth will perish. Everything on earth is gone. It's already gone. So, you're happy from now on. Why? Don't feel happy. You are happy. It's not a feeling. It's not an understanding. It's not a wanting. It's just, that's who you are. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And you are the dwelling place of the living God. God will never change his mind on that. So you're all safe, happy, secure. In Jesus. He's the rock that can't be moved. Peter is not the rock. Peter is Petros. That means a handheld rock, one that you could hold in your hand, a boulder perhaps, or a pebble. Doesn't matter. You're a little rock that people can carry. But Petra is like a mountain, like Mount Hermon. It's something that cannot be moved by men. You can't not move it. I don't care how many men you have. You can't move it because it's immovable, and God planted it that way. And you'll see that this world is not going to pass away till all these things come to pass. My word will not pass away when this world passes away. Then you'll have the new heaven and the new earth. All right. Let's see. Susan, close in prayer. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, not the peace the world gives, his peace, which the world cannot give you. In Jesus' name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Depart in his peace.
Excellent, Pastor Jim. Excellent, excellent, excellent.
Guys, good. It's good.
How are you doing?
Perfect.
Do you have a few minutes?
Mm-mm.
On high.
I'll just check with my wife.
The name of the Lord is.
No, I'm not going to.
A strong tower. The righteous run into it. They are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. They are saved.